This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We got NBA playoffs happening tonight. How do the Kings and Scott Perry, their new GM, get back to the NBA playoffs? We'll talk about that shortly. But I have been putting in lineups, multiple lineups a night on Underdog Daily Fantasy.
How have we been doing?
Horrible. I have no feel for any of these series or any of these games. It seems easy enough. You pick higher or lower on at least two player stats, yeah, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money, right? It seems super easy. And if you want to sign up now, promo code Kyle M, K-Y-L-E-M, at the Underdog app. So I have one of two things I can do. I can just take a week off or 2 weeks off and try and kind of get an idea of what's happening in each series. The problem is, I don't want to do that because of the extender promo that Underdog has going on right now, where you get a 40% profit boost token for game one. Game two, you get 50% profit boost token. For game three, 60%. If there's a game seven, you get a 100% profit boost token. So if your lineup is going to win you $100, you play that token. Your lineup now wins you $200, right? So I can't not play. And I feel like at some point I'm gonna get a feel for these series, and I think I do. And here's the lineup I'm rocking with tonight. Let me get the app open. Stand by.
You miss all the shots you don't take, too, by the way.
Do you want my Warriors-Rockets lineup or my other lineup?
Let's start with Warriors-Rockets. Let's see what you're comfortable with.
Warriors-Rockets. Gary Payton II, I'm going higher than 6.5 points. Fred VanVleet, I'm going higher than 2.5 three-pointers made. He was 2 for 13 in game one. He's going to knock down some threes.
Step it up.
And I think Gary Payton II is going to get a lot of those like easy rolls to the basket because I think the Rockets are going to really try and get the ball out of Steph's hands. They're going to double him a lot. They like that little pick and roll with Steph and GP2. Like, he's going to have higher than 6.5 points. Amen Thompson's going to be better. Like, he goes higher than 13.5 points. I also think Alperen Şengün, the Warriors just don't have an answer for him. I'm going higher than 20.5.
Sounds right.
So that's where I'm at with the Warriors-Rockets game. My other lineup features three from Orlando and Boston and one from Miami and Cleveland.
Yeah, you got a lot of magic out there.
Jonathan Isaac, higher than 4.5 points. He's going to play like 18 minutes.
Jonathan Isaac is the ultimate.
Can I get a three?
Maybe.
Can I get a three and a bucket? That's all I need. Cole Anthony, higher than 4.5 points because Cole Anthony is one of those guys that can just get hot and make six threes in a game.
Sounds right.
And then Paolo Banchero, I'm going higher than 26.5 points, partly because I think the Celtics strategy in the series is like, yeah, you get yours. Franz isn't. Nobody else is going to score 20. And Paolo, yeah, you're going to have 40.
That's basically what they did with Joel Embiid. He's going to get 40. We'll stop Tobias Harris then.
Yep. So I think that's what they're going to do. I think Paolo Banchero goes higher than 26.5 points. And then the other game, I got Miami and Cleveland. I'm going Andrew Wiggins higher than 17.5 points. Shout out to my guy Wiggs.
Yeah, why not? Wiggins is the ultimate. Maybe he'll go for 30 today.
He might go for 30. He might go for 6.
Yeah, who knows?
It's just, it's exhilarating thanks to Underdog Daily Fantasy.
I don't hate that. Like, Isaac and Anthony feel like safe plays.
Yeah, it's just, and maybe those numbers are low because they're tricking me.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I need a 3 and a bucket from Jonathan Isaac or a couple of buckets and one. Okay. Cole Anthony's liable to get hot. He might be their only offensive option if Paolo Banchero's not going.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Franz Wagner disappeared in the second half.
Franz Wagner, that's a thumbs down for me. I'm out.
You're out?
For now, in this series. In this series, as part of my Underdog lineup. I'm in on Franz. I'm out on him for my Underdog lineup. Download the Underdog app and sign up with promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M, to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That's promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M. Must be 18+ and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/extend.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. Okay. Scott Perry and the Kings.
What you got?
You mentioned that sustainable winner. He said building a sustainable winner multiple times. And I'm interested to see, and this is sort of loops the Vivek aspect of this back into the conversation. There are years to go here for Scott Perry.
Mm.
If the goal is simply, hey, just make the playoffs next year, which is not a sustainable winner, that's a short-term Band-Aid for a much bigger problem. So I'm going to operate on the assumption that there's not some edict from Vivek Ranadive that's like, you need to make the playoffs next year.
That's how it kind of felt. Like, it didn't come off as if, like, yeah, we're going to try to make the playoffs this year. We're going to try to win. Like, mm-hmm. It was always like, well, you said we're going to win, but, like, they're going to try to build a sustainable winner. To me, that's, you know, just kind of build something where it's like, this is going to last more than a few years.
Right. Like, there might be a couple of moves this offseason to make them worse in the immediate, mm-hmm. but give them a better runway to being good in 2 years.
Yeah. Cause it's like I said, this current roster, whether it be Zach LaVine or whoever, like, this is going to last you maybe a year, if that.
It's not it.
Yeah.
And I'm the thing I'm most interested to see with Scott Perry, and I think one of his biggest challenges is, okay, what do you do with DeMar DeRozan? Like, that's a Hall of Famer. You're probably not going to get a player as effective as him in terms of putting the ball in the basket. And honestly, at his age, I don't know how many teams are going to be shelling out like big time draft capital for him. I'm just interested to see what happens there.
You're getting DeMar DeRozan to a contender, I think. You're going to get maybe a late first, a pick swap, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know a pick swap or whatever, but you'll get like a late first. You're not going to get too much for DeMar DeRozan. Maybe you get you're going to have to match salary, so get maybe a couple of decent role players and all that, but it's not going to be anything crazy.
If you get a rotation player, a project kind of young player, and a pick, cool. But again, we can discuss the minutiae of that. The other challenge is, I think, you have to figure out, what are you doing with Domantas Sabonis, who has 3 years left?
Yeah, I think he's like 43, 46, and then 49.9 the last year.
Yeah, it's a sizable deal. Are you building around him, or are you getting him out of here? And if you're getting him out of here, what does that return look like? I think you have to figure out what you're doing with Zach LaVine, who also has an inflated contract with a player option next year for $50 million. It's a lot of money. Then that might be hard to trade. So it's like these big pieces that we look at and go, yeah, you know what? You might have to break some of these up, because I think you're right. I think there's a ceiling that kind of caps this team at kind of like play-in team. Maybe they sneak into the first round, but this team
is not going anywhere.
This is not a sustainable winner, right? Yeah. This is not with the 20.
You have no franchise players on this roster right now at all. You have no number one and number two.
I think I agree.
Yeah.
I think I agree. So this is not a team like the 22-23 team we looked and went, wow, okay, this is a team that's on the rise. There is an ascending program here. Mm. You got to fix this thing. You got to fix this thing. You got to add this. But hey, okay, you're moving the right direction. They're going to take these steps. And they're not in that place now. So figuring out, let's say you have to keep Zach LaVine and DeMar, and not DeMar DeRozan, but Domantas Sabonis. It's the onus is now on him to figure out, all right, is this a, can you have a sustainable winner with these guys? Or Are you just kind of playing out their contracts and trying to gain assets in the meantime until they're expirings that you can get rid of for something real?
I get that, but is that just running it back essentially if you're just trading DeMar?
Yes, but I don't know that they have a choice. That's the thing is you asked about when do you start, you know, you asked something about when he starts making moves. And it's like, I'm not necessarily gonna drag him if they have a quote unquote slow offseason. He mentioned needing a point guard. Okay, maybe they bring in a point guard. He mentioned needing length and athleticism. Maybe they draft somebody in the second round and they're a 6'9" defensive wing with upside as a shooter. I don't know. I'm guessing. I don't think that if it's, man, LaVine and Sabonis are the two guys with Keegan Murray, that's kind of the core moving forward. I'm not going to necessarily blame him for that.
Yeah.
I don't know that he'll have a choice.
I don't think DeMontis Sabonis' trade value is as low as we think. Like, he's got the two All-NBAs the last couple seasons. Like, he leads the league in rebounds. He's decent, like, with not decent. He's more than good with assists and all that.
Yeah.
Like, he's a... What is he this season?
The question for me is less like his trade value being low.
Mm-hmm.
The question for me is, does he have more value on your team versus like what you'd be getting? I don't know. I guess maybe this is saying his trade value is low. I don't know that the value you're getting would be worth it because he's a good player. You don't want to just like give away a good player, right?
Would two firsts be enough for you?
Maybe depending on the team. I have no interest in firsts that belong to Oklahoma City, for example.
Okay, well, how about this? We've thrown around this Bleacher Report deal, don't even know if whatever. Me and Kenny were talking about it the last few days. Recently. Would you do Nick Claxton, insert Nets role player, and two first rounders?
Depends on the role player. If it's like Noah Clowney, sure. Maybe.
But is it Nick Claxton?
I'd really have to dive into that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, maybe. And this is again what I think and what Scott Perry thinks are might be different, but that's the decisions. Those are the decisions that Scott Perry is going to have to make.
Yeah, like Mark Robinson in the chat real quick says, Sabonis gets you a top 10 in this draft. I don't think that.
He might. I don't know. But the larger point being, if that's what Scott Perry decides, or if Domas goes, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, that's where I hope that he has the runway, whether it's Domantas Sabonis or Zach LaVine or Keegan Murray or Malik Monk or DeMar DeRozan or whoever on the roster. If they decide they have to move on from that player, my hope is that the return is one that benefits the Kings long-term and is not Domas wants out. Okay, what can we get to help this
year? Let's get
year?
The next Zach LaVine for him.
Right. That's more what I think I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, yeah.
Is everything he's doing this year, whatever he decides to do, to me, has to be with 2020.
That's to be with the next 3 years in mind.
2027, 28, and 29.
Yeah.
In mind, it can't.
No, I agree
just
with that.
Be
1,000%.
About
yeah, I'm not just trying to
out this year.
I'm not just trying to trade Domas for the sake of get him off this team.
No,
like obviously you're looking for a good return, but like I said, I don't think he's got low value or anything like that. Like I think you could get a decent return for Domantas Sabonis.
The other thing is we're talking about like the positive aspects of this. The other thing that really jumps out to me is. He got asked about like, are you making tweaks or do you foresee an overhaul to the roster? I really appreciate that he did not give an answer. He said, don't know. I got to talk to these dudes. I got to figure out what we're working with here. I've obviously watched the roster, but I don't know any of these guys.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a really, really important aspect of this offseason. If he talks to Zach LaVine and goes, wow, you know what? I had the wrong perception of him. I think he could be a one. And man, you know what? In talking to Domas, I think if we can work these two guys together and if we get a point guard who can really... Okay, cool. All right. Cool. That's great. But I also don't think that he can... I wouldn't want him to go into the offseason with this idea of like... I have to tear it down.
Yeah.
Or I have to keep this all together. I think going in with a blank slate is the right thing. And my hope is, again, circling back to Vivek, my hope is that Vivek just lets him do that and just gets out of the way and doesn't go, you know what? Hey, we can't afford to have like a 30-win team this year. So if you could not do that move,
Yeah, if Scott's trying to do something, the Vic's like, oh, we're going to hit the play into the playoffs this year, like, that's going to be an issue. But yeah. Like I said, like we talked about earlier, I think that's why it's a good thing he brought in Scott Perry.
Yeah.
You got someone you trust at least, so hopefully he does step back a little bit because this guy can do the job. At least yeah. I think he can.
He has to be given the runway to let this thing take a couple of years because I think it's going to. And as long as he's given that runway, I said, based on today, he said all the right things, most of the right things.
Won the press conference.
So I feel good about it moving forward. James Hamm is in the building. He was also at Golden One Center, but now he's in our building. He's in the studio now. He will jump in, get his takeaways from the press conference, and continue talking about what Scott Perry can do to help the Kings moving forward. Jesse Tappy is here. James Hamm's here. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it is Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you, and then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
What?
Did that?
Was it? Was
no.
It
how, okay.
It was,
what?
What are we forgetting?
I was trying to forget. I don't know. I don't know what I'm forgetting.
You clicked on Soren, so I thought maybe we didn't do the keyword yet or something.
Is it that?
Maybe it's that. Yeah. I know. But the thing is, no, I actually... The reason I started going, hey, am I forgetting something? Is because I went, we have to do the keyword here.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, it's something else then.
Maybe it's just the coffee and my anxiety is just super high for no reason.
Well, yeah, you pulled up today with your Crocs and not your shoes as well.
That's facts. I forgot my shoes today.
Oh, no.
I wore my driving Crocs.
Maybe it's that. It's just not having your shoes is just kind of like
that legitimately might be it. Because my Crocs aren't in sport mode right now, so they're just kind of hanging off my heels. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, dude, so normally, and what James Hamm is now here. He was at Scott Perry's presser, and we'll talk more about the press conference after we give you a chance to win $500, and after I tell my story about forgetting my shoes. So I was getting all my stuff ready this morning, and when I'm going in and out of my garage, I'll just have my Crocs on, because they're easy to put on and off, and I usually just drive with them, mm-hmm. because they're very comfortable. Salute to Crocs.
True.
And... I wouldn't wear them to the club, but I will wear them out and about. I have no problem with it. And like, who am I trying to impress?
I might wear them to the club.
Let's go. Come on, man. So I had them on, and I'm running around and going in and out of the house and stuff. And usually I grab my pair of shoes and I just throw them in my car. So when I get to work, I put my shoes on. I was just far enough away from home to turn around when I realized I did not grab shoes. So we're just rocking with the Crocs today. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm just thrown off. Because I feel very informal right now.
This could be a good thing, too, where it's just like, damn, this is comfortable as hell doing the show this way. Maybe I'm just going to rock the Crocs going forward.
That might just be the move. I might just have to have show Crocs.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, I wear my Hey Dudes everywhere. Like, that, I wear those shoes, like, almost every
day.
But
those look like shoes.
They look, well, sort of.
They're not. Brother.
I haven't worn socks.
We're talking...
Kyle looks like he just got done doing a shift at Kaiser.
We're talking Crocs, baby.
I think it's awesome.
Anyways, Scott Perry's presser.
Yeah.
Jesse and I both said he won the presser. Your thoughts?
I think, you know, when I met Scott 8 years ago, there was just this, there's a calmness to him. And there's like, it's... like his accent, like Southern draw, like he just kind of draws you in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what everyone felt today. There's just like a calming influence to him that, you know, I just think that the Kings need. They, whatever it is that, you know, again, I think Monty and Wes had a lot of success here and a lot of failures at the end of the day. And Scott Perry will have the same. He'll have some successes. He'll have some failures. That's the way the NBA works. Like everyone... like you're not going to hit a home run in every swing. We can look at, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder and Sam Presti. You know, how many guys they've drafted in the first round that are no longer either in the league or in their system? Like, it's like 10 because they had so many draft picks. So not everybody is perfect and not everything works out 100%. But I think what The Kings have been, what they really needed at this moment was just a real NBA adult in the room.
Yeah.
That can get everything in the building going the right way. And that's something that, like, if you were to ask me, can you pinpoint one issue? What is the sole problem with the Sacramento Kings? I could not. There are so many problems that I think, you know, like, do they have some things that are going really well? Yeah. Like, I think that their training staff, their medical staff, like, they've done great work, right, to keep the players on the court. The Kings have one of the, again, for the third straight year, like, one of the lowest injury, games lost to injury in the league. But, you know, there are so many issues that have to be addressed. And I feel like Scott is a guy who comes in with, like, a punch list and just starts taking care of things one by one. He's going to assess everything himself. He's going to have the right conversations. He's going to bring in one or two front office people to work with him that should be his hires. You know, if that means that Phil Jabbour or Paul Johnson stay on the staff, okay, that's fine. You know, if Alvin Gentry is still here at the end of the day, they can be here, but that it's because Scott Perry thinks that they're the right people to do the job. And so I'm kind of hoping that that's the direction that this team goes, and that, you know, as much as, you know, Vivek is this, like, sort of Wizard of Oz type character behind the scenes, I do think that he will at least initially empower Scott to make the moves he needs to make.
Yeah.
And I know that I feel that way because early in Vivek's reign with, whether it's Vlade or whether it was Monty and Wes or whether it was Pete D'Alessandro, early on, he always gives them a long leash.
Mm-hmm.
It's when things get sideways that he starts to interject more and more of himself.
And that's sort of what we were talking about when you got here. This, I believe that this is going to go sideways before it starts going up again.
Okay.
I don't think that they're going to magically turn into a 50-win team next year. And I think there's going to be some growing pains over the next couple of years before this thing really starts moving back in the right direction and the right tweaks have been made and the right contracts have been moved, etc.
Yeah.
And so my hope is, maybe I'm wrong, maybe they win 50 games next year, I don't know. But my hope is that if they win 38 next year, it's not like five alarm fire, oh my God, everything is terrible inside the organization. I hope that there's some grace and some leeway to be like, okay, hang on. This might get a little uncomfortable, might get a little rocky, but hey, we've got a plan, we've got a vision. We're executing
to build
that vision. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, like Adam Mick in the, is that who it was, in the chat here? Aaron Mick, my bad. He said zero patience. That's not always the case. Like, there are times where Vivek has shown, like, really, really good patience. I mean, Monty and Wes got 5 years. Vlade Divac got 5 years. So, like, a five-year span in the NBA is actually, you know, if you haven't started winning and turned everything around, that's actually kind of a long time.
Yeah, it feels too long almost.
Yeah, where he struggled is with the coaching thing. And, and it's almost like there's this thing in his head that he's on board with the front office and their vision, but he holds a coach accountable for what happens. And to me, like, so many times that I've seen in with this organization, like, it doesn't matter if Red Auerbach walked through that door, he wouldn't be able to coach this team. Greg Popovich, Phil Jackson, they couldn't change what was happening here.
Was Vivek there?
No. No, and also Doug wasn't there either that I saw. Maybe he was in the back of the room, but I did not see him. I did see some of his coaches. I did see the training staff. I did see, you know, Matina and you know, most of, like, the front office. And, like, even, again, like, the guys that are part of Monty and Wes's staff, they sat in the front row. You know, like, Alvin Gentry, Phil Jabbour, and Paul Johnson all sat in the front row.
Getting their interviews started, nice.
Yeah, so I think, like look, at the end of the day, we could say, hey, Vivek's not there. What do we need to read into that? And I think what we need to read into that is that Vivek is not going to talk about this. He's going to put somebody out there and say, this is the face of the franchise. You talk to him and you're not going to talk to me. And, like, there are times where Vivek wouldn't do that, where he always had a nameplate on the table and, you know, and kind of, like, opened it up for him to be part of the conversation. that's not who he is anymore, and it's because that's not what his people want, the people that are around him.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think he's learned his lesson that, you know, oftentimes he just becomes a soundbite, and that's not something that is conducive to, like, productive, you know, sort of, like, growth.
What'd you think of his answer when he got asked about Zach LaVine and his comments on Zach LaVine? Because he didn't shy away. He didn't go like, oh, I didn't mean it. But I also felt like, I don't want to say dissatisfied with the answer, but he's more or less like, I'll stand on what I said about anybody. I'm not going to run from anything. Da 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 da. I'm going to be, what did he say? I'm going to radical candor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, we're going to bring in the right pieces to enhance Zach's talent. And I guess my question is, well, in your comments that you're not running from, you said he's a third option.
Yeah.
So you're going to bring in two players better than Zach LaVine? That's a big ask.
Okay, so, like, where are you supposed to go from that, though? Like, if you make comments about a player,
mm-hmm.
like, you can't really hide from it, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I talk about this all the time, that, you know, like, my responsibility, whether it's here on the radio or it's in writing or on mm-hmm. a podcast, I walk in that locker room and have to have accountability for whatever I say.
Mm-hmm.
And have I had players in the past that don't like things that I've said? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And are there times where, like, DeMarcus Cousins goes, hey, come here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, what's up? Pause. He's like, hey, I wasn't too happy about this or that. And it's like, okay, well, let's have a conversation.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have to be honest and forthright when I'm talking to people. And, you know, you want to get angry about me writing about technical fouls, stop getting technical fouls. Just straight up. Like, if you don't want me to bring it up every time that you now are up to 15 technicals, then don't get another technical. You know?
Sorry, right. But what is, I guess, like, I don't necessarily have a problem with what Scott Perry said.
Well, no, I
don't think
agree.
He said the wrong thing. I think he addressed the comment probably the right way. But the question for me now is, okay, he has this vision. Zach LaVine is probably going to have to be part of it. And so in the GM's mind,
mm-hmm.
their best player is a third option.
No, I get that. So, but my point is that he, number one, he has to own up for what he said about Zach LaVine.
Uh-huh.
Number two,
I think he did.
I don't think anyone believes that he was wrong. Well, I mean, Zach LaVine probably believes he's
probably
wrong.
Probably disagrees a little bit.
Vivek probably probably disagrees a little bit. But
sure.
At the same time, I think there are a lot of people out there that go, okay, what he said doesn't feel wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has to take accountability to us and to Zach LaVine for what he said. I thought he did an okay job of taking accountability. But at the end of the day, like, it is a tall task to go out and find two players that are better to make him a third option.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that you might already have one of them. Because whether he's a first scoring option or first option, I still think Domantas Sabonis, we consider Domantas Sabonis the number two option on this team with De'Aaron Fox. We can't mm-hmm. just all of a sudden say, well, Domantas Sabonis is no longer the number two option. So it's something that, like, Scott is going to have to put his money where his mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that means he's going to have to go out and find somebody that's better than Zach LaVine for
yep.
sure. And, but I mean, that's, like, in all, an honest assessment of the roster, that has to happen either way.
No doubt.
You know, I heard you on the way in, like, you're right. Like, the trio of Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis, and Keegan Murray, that's not enough to win 50 games.
I don't think so.
But I also think that when we go back to what we thought of this team going into this season, we can't just say, okay, they made the De'Aaron Fox move and they didn't downgrade offensively,
mm-hmm.
but they downgraded defensively with Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
And now this team is no longer even remotely close to a 50-win team. I think there are ways in order that they can improve this roster quickly, that they can swap out players, whether it's, you know, again, DeMar DeRozan or it's, you know, whoever's in the backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there are ways to improve the roster quickly. And again, like, the one thing that he did say is length and athleticism.
Oh, God, music to my ears.
Everyone was so happy
Holy
when he said
smokes.
That in the chatty house.
Well, it's just
like, for a celebration.
It's so clear that when you have a modern NBA team and you have a player with deficiencies, and
mm-hmm.
every player has deficiencies, like, don't get this wrong. I there is not a perfect player in the NBA. The closest thing we probably saw to a perfect player was Michael Jordan, and even Michael Jordan didn't hit the three very mm-hmm. well. So, my point is, like, if you have problems, it's why you go out and they always put a Steve Kerr next to or Robert Horry or, like, who, you know, they put guys around team players to space the floor and to make that person to hide their deficiencies.
Right.
I don't think if there's a failure for Monty and Wes, I think it's that specifically.
Yeah.
You had a very distinctive type of big man in Domantas Sabonis, and you never, ever found the second and third guy to put next to him. Keegan Murray is one. You found one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a million guys in the NBA who are 6'7" to 6'9" and play defense and can play on the wing. And they, the fact that they couldn't get one of them.
How many times do we watch a game and we'll text each other if we're sitting next to each other at a game and we'll go, how do they have that? How did they find that guy?
All of them.
How does every team has three dudes where we're like, man, Kings could use that guy.
Well, the NBA has like three of those on every team, it feels like.
Well, except at least 29 teams.
Yeah, 29 teams. Excuse me.
But it's 29 teams for 5 years.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. You know, like there was a season where they walked into the year and the only player they had to play small forward was Bogdan Bogdanovic at 6'6". Like, you're just going to get run over. Like, everyone knows it. You're just going, you cannot compete when everybody has this one ingredient that you don't have and you have no way to mask it. And if anything, the players that you did bring in, whether it's, again, Zach LaVine, who his deficiencies are very specific on the defensive end, or it is Domantas Sabonis, where, again, you're talking about a 6'10" center with short arms. Like, it's so clear and easy to see the fix, and to not address it again and again and again is just a huge problem.
I don't think we talked about it earlier. How do we feel about Doug Christie's status as the head coach after this press conference?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
And James, I'm obviously interested to get your thoughts here. But it was funny watching the chatty house during the presser, because there would be three people like, oh, Doug's going to be the coach. Mm-hmm. And then three people like, whoop, Doug's out.
Yeah, he's done.
So I took his initial answer, because he talked about the coach a couple of times. His initial answer, he said he's going to have a few conversations and hopes to have a resolution in the next week.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a comprehensive coaching search where you're interviewing a bunch of guys and you're really like, hey, we got to nail down and make sure that we have the right guy, that to me is taking more than a week.
Yeah.
I super got the vibe that it's like Doug Christie's job to lose.
Do you think Scott Perry could have maybe been talking to someone before he took this job? Be like, hey, I might get this Kings job. Like, talking to a head coach, maybe. Like, I want you to be the guy if I do get this job.
I think, like, look, Scott is one of those guys that knows a million people. Mm-hmm. And he's not lying when he said as soon as his name's being mentioned, he starts hearing from people. People are calling, asking about the coaching job. Like, whether that amounts to Doug being around or not. At this point, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say it speaks volumes that Doug Christie wasn't at the press conference today. Again, he could have been hiding in the back, but I'm not going to, like, it also makes it awkward.
Yeah.
Just like if Vivek was there. It makes it awkward that, not that he's there, but if he's there and he's not speaking. And so that's where you kind of have this weird, like, sort of unbalanced thing that we all feel. And to be honest, like, we got done with that, and I didn't know for sure whether Doug was going to be back or not, but I do know that a week is not a lot of time to say that you're going to have an announcement,
right.
And they might just be spacing this out a little bit. So when they do make the announcement that, you know, if Doug is coming back, that, you know, they kind of have that little bit of breathing room to say, hey, look, it was his idea. It, you know, he had the conversation and he's comfortable moving forward with Doug.
And maybe he does have someone, maybe Jesse's right. Maybe he's talked to people and he's de facto done these interviews and wants to talk to Doug Christie first, and he goes, okay, it's Doug's job, but if he says something that I don't like, I've got all these other names to fall back on. Maybe that's the case. But when he said with the head coach, he's looking for someone who can execute his vision, that will have the team, he wants the team to be tough, defense first, and he wants them to share the ball offensively, that all just sounds like stuff that Doug was preaching.
Of course.
So along those lines, to me, it kind of seems like things are trending that direction. That's solely based on what Scott Perry said today.
That's what I think, too. I think Doug's going to be the guy. And if he's not, then I think Scott Perry already knows who it is. Like, there's no interview process or whatever.
Yeah. Or there will be, but it'll be like...
Yeah.
An abbreviated...
Performative? Is that the word?
Yeah.
We all get what you're trying to say.
Thanks.
You know, I'm with you.
What's the word I'm looking for?
No, performative sounds right.
Matter of, what's it when you do something, but it's
I think it's performative.
Ceremonial?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'll think of it.
I don't know, dude. We just talk on the radio.
Words are difficult today, yeah. Words are difficult every day. It's a good thing I have this job. All right, we got to step aside. Before we do that, though, we're going to give away $500. Or give you a chance to win $500 because D'Lo and KC are also going to give you a chance to win $500. I'm going to give you a keyword. You enter it at ESPN1320.com. You'll be entered once to win today's $500. If you enter D'Lo and KC's keyword later on, you will be entered twice to win $500. We gave out $500 on Monday. We gave out $500 yesterday to Jalen H. in Sacramento. Congratulations to Jalen H. He is $500 richer. We love that for him, and we would love it for you. So enter this keyword right now. Go to ESPN1320.com. Today's keyword is key. Like three in the key.
Nice.
Key. K-E-Y. Key. Enter that at ESPN1320.com. You'll see the contest page. You can't miss it. The Jump Shot Jackpot giveaway is courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy, Vince Bloom. Key, K-E-Y. That is your first keyword for your chance to win $500 today. Hell yeah.
Go make
yeah.
some money.
Go make some money.
Let's do this.
You just stick around for the handoff, I guess?
Yeah, I can hang out.
Okay. We got the handoff. Coming up next, talk more Kings. Scott Perry's intro presser. What do we think? We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it is Sacramento's Sports. Later.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's Sports Leader. Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm is here, jetted up from Golden 1 Center. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Jesse Tapia, who's been hanging out all day, and it turns out it's just like an extended version of the handoff.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's fine. And now the handoff is actually here. Do you want to play the thing?
Yeah, hit the music.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's Jesse Tapia.
You've been here all day.
There we go.
Jesse's here. What were we were talking about something at the break. What were you guys talking about at the break? It was Scott Perry.
Then the CPR got into
it. Yeah, CPR. Yeah, the great episode of The Office.
That was someone in the chat that brought up that.
I remember. Cash Creek tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
James and I are out at Cash Creek tomorrow, 4 o'clock. So we're doing our show. Wherever show, 10 a.m. to noon. And then we're going down to Cache Creek. And from 4 to 5, we'll be talking about the draft, with the draft starting at 5. So from 4 to 5, we'll be talking about the draft in the YOLO room at Cache Creek. It's a ballroom, conference room, combo, small setting. You get to hang out. We'll talk draft for an hour on air.
Go hang out with Kyle and James.
And then we're going to the Elevate Lounge from 5 to 7:30 and probably longer, drinking good drinks, eating good food, having a good time. There'll be the NFL draft will be on. But then after the draft, there should be still be some NBA playoff games happening.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time.
It's a bunch of sports. Like, what more could you want?
Come cut it up at Cache Creek with me and James tomorrow, beginning at 4 p.m. in the YOLO room. And then we'll move to the Elevate Lounge at 5. Can't wait. It's going to be a ton of fun.
I'll be here running the board for you guys, so I'll be missing it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, shout out.
You're not going to drive up after?
I got to do D'Lo and Casey stuff after.
That's fine. Yeah, man. I just, like, look. Is Scott Perry going to solve all the Kings' problems with one press conference? No. But in terms of him saying the things he needed to say today, I don't really have any complaints. Because I think a lot of it comes down to things that he still has to figure out.
Yeah, I feel a little bit better, I guess, if it's one way or the other coming out of his press conference. Like, the whole sustainable winner thing makes me feel like it's going to be less of, all right, let's just go for it all this year, and more so let's... Mm-hmm. Try to actually have some actual decent success the next few years.
Yeah, and you know, even if you look at the 3 months that Scott Perry was here during the summer of 2017, what he did is he had, you know, 3 first round picks, early second round pick, and Bogdan Bogdanovic all coming over from Europe all in one time, right? So he had 5 rookies, and then that they added that to 4 rookies from the year before, and then he brought in like some of what should have been spectacular mentorship and Vince Carter and Zebo and George Hill. Mm-hmm. They brought in George Hill to make sure that they had De'Aaron Fox have his own specific mentor. They brought in the rest, you know, Zebo, to make sure that they weren't going to be so bad that they lost every game by 40 points. So anytime mm-hmm. you needed a bucket, you'd feed Zebo. They brought Vince Carter in just to be like Vince Carter and to own the room at all times, right? But just if you pull back, you see the vision of like a first year of something that they're building.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you support young players the right way. This is how you build something. This is how, you know, if we're going to develop talent, this is how we do it. Now, that first year was rough, which everyone expected to be rough. The second year, though, look at how much they improved, how much they grew. They won 39 games, and you had yourself on a different pathway with a lot of those young players now playing prominent roles. The problem is that when you change leadership midstream, that vision gets lost sometimes with the next group and the next year and the year after that. So it's really tough to lay out like a three-year plan and then walk out the door 3 months later. And now it's everyone else is like, well, I don't know what happened to Scott's plan, but let's just scrap it and do what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where things went sideways. And so, like, again, you can look at that offseason and say, oh, he made so many mistakes that offseason. It's like, yeah, but there was a vision put in place, and that's something that sticks out. Then not only was there an adult in the room, but that adult in the room had a very specific plan of mm-hmm. how to grow these 9 or 10 young players and develop them into something better, you know, 2-3 years down the road. And so you can still see like the outlines of what was supposed to happen that just didn't happen because he had to leave.
Do you think maybe he reverse engineers that kind of thing, where they have veterans here in the building that he likes and have been here for a while, and maybe now the focus over the next couple of years is going to be bringing in younger players to potentially be those franchise pillars that we talked about?
Which veterans are we keeping around then? Would he be?
I'd assume a player like Domas is sticking around. I don't think Zach LaVine is probably going anywhere.
Okay, so question, if like DeMar...
Keon Ellis, Malik Monk.
So like where... So how are you rebuilding this thing then? If, like, it's just DeMar.
That's what's tough is, to me, they need... Because he talked about getting players who enhance the talent they have, and I think getting length and athleticism in a point guard helps that for sure. But if you're maximizing what you're doing, you have to bring in a star.
Mm-hmm.
They need like a bona fide number one still. And that's I don't know how he goes about that.
Well, that, and I think part of the problem is that like when you trade De'Aaron Fox, a frontline point guard
mm-hmm.
for a shooting guard, it's so much easier to find a shooting guard in the NBA than it is to find a point guard. And a point guard is usually how you start your build. Mm-hmm. It's not how you know, you don't go out there and like, hey, if only we had a point guard. That's why you got to start looking at like bigger trades. How do you get maybe a young point guard that's underutilized? It also, like, some of the draft picks that Scott Perry's made over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. you know, when he was with the Knicks, like, he's a guy who drafted Emmanuel quickly and drafted him way earlier than everyone thought he would go. He was supposed mm-hmm. to go in like the early to mid second round, but there were some murmurs, hey, this quickly kid is a stud. He drafted Quentin Grimes. He drafted Mitchell Robinson in the late first round. Mm-hmm. So it's like there are a lot of like breadcrumbs of, hey, look, this is what he looks, his teams could look like. But also, like we talked about this a little bit before, like even look at the 2017 NBA draft. We are so used to Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox drafting 22-year-old dudes. But in that draft alone, he drafted 2 19-year-olds
mm-hmm.
and then 2 veteran, mm-hmm. like, you know, college players in Justin Jackson and Frank Mason.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Harry Giles was like a shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And De'Aaron Fox was like a very much like, you know, top five pick. But even a top five pick that was probably going to go 8 or 9 before he started the draft process. And so I think it's good that we see that he's not just set in one way, mm-hmm. which is what I always felt like when we were talking about the draft this year. Well, if they do draft, there's only 3 players Monty and Wes are going to look at.
Every 18 and 19-year-old just got ruled out.
Yeah, no chance.
Immediately.
Yeah, we're like, oh, we love Ron
Can't
Holland.
Can't buy a beer? He's not playing for this team.
No chance, yeah.
They're not going after Ron Holland. Like, there's no way. We talked about Devin Carter, Dalton Kconnect, and there was, Tristan Da Silva.
Yeah.
Like, there's all of these guys that are, like, and the only reason we look at them is because they're all sophomores or juniors or seniors that are 22, 23 years old, and that's all they look for.
Yeah. Can that guy buy a beer was the, like, number one criteria.
Yeah.
which is
Monty's little just, draft interview. Hey, if I give you this 20, can you go buy me some alcohol? No? All right, you're not going to play for this team.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 5 years, they drafted one guy, I think, under 21, and that was Jamias Ramsey. Yeah, that's it. That's crazy.
That one maybe scarred Monty, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. I just, like I said, I hope whatever vision Scott Perry has involves going beyond, like having the hard conversations, like you said, James,
mm-hmm.
making those hard moves, even if he, you know, it may not be popular, might not be popular within the organization, might not be popular with the fan base. But at some point, if you have a vision and you're giving this guy the keys, he has to be able to execute that.
Yeah.
And I like I said, we'll see. Like the work is in the production is going to speak for itself. But I was encouraged today. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel encouraged as of now. We'll see what the offseason looks like.
Yeah, we'll see. You start making moves, but you did good on day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are there splashier picks? Are, you know, sure. But this is a guy with a long draft history. It's a guy who built a winner, you know, with the Knicks, who built a winner with, you know, Orlando. Like, there's good things that happened, and the stops that he made before was mm-hmm. part of building a championship contender in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And then also start thinking about, like, the ties that between him and other personnel out there. Like,
sure.
Does this open the door for trades with the Knicks? Does it open the door for trades with, I don't know, New Orleans Pelicans, who Scott Perry and Joe Dumars work together in Detroit and are mm-hmm. super close?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it opens the door for all of these things. And that's where you're looking at a guy who has an ability to walk in the room, call anyone in the league, have a really good, honest conversation. Anyone will take Scott Perry's phone call, just like anyone will take Alvin Gentry's phone call. But mm-hmm. that's not always been the case here in Sacramento.
Sure. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and Casey?
Pretty much this. We're talking Scott Perry. We're talking playoffs. It's Wednesday, right? So James will be there.
Mm-hmm. 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. I was trying to see if there's anything that we didn't hit that we should have hit today. Giveaway key was our keyword.
Did the giveaway.
Magic and Celtics tonight?
Let's go Celtics.
You worried at all?
Yeah, no.
No, Jason.
Tatum, I hope your bruised wrist is feeling better tomorrow. That's all I'll say. I hope you feel better tomorrow if you don't play today because of your bone bruise.
Speaking of tomorrow, James Hamm and I back tomorrow. I am back. James Hamm and I back tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we'll talk to you at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.